And if the negotiations in Vienna do succeed, it should lessen the chance of a U.S. or Israeli military strike against Iran's nuclear facilities. But there's another battlefield. A war is being fought over the Iranian economy. On one side, Iran's Revolutionary Guards, which began as a paramilitary organization but is now a major economic force. On the other side, Western governments, including the United States. NPR's Tom Gelton explains.
In the last few years, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps has quietly taken control of about half the Iranian economy. The IRGC now owns or controls dozens of companies, from laser eye surgery to automobile manufacturing. One enterprise operates Iran's international airport. Others run port facilities. And with their semi-official government ties, IRGC companies can roll over their competitors. Karim Sajjadpour of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace cites one example, the automobile import business.
If you're a private Iranian businessman doing that, you would be subject to 50%, sometimes as high as 100% tariffs. Whereas, you know, if you have an affiliation with the Revolutionary Guards, you can do it for free.
The Revolutionary Guards' business activities began when they took charge of reconstructing Iran after its 8-year war with Iraq. That got them into the construction and oil sectors. The IRGC was part of the ruling regime, but with its own organization separate from the Iranian state. The guards were able to expand their economic role when the Iranian government began selling off state-owned enterprises. That privatization campaign continues, and guess who's benefiting? Again, Karim Sajjadpour.
In reality, what's been taking place is not the transfer of publicly owned properties to private individuals, but basically the transfer of previously publicly owned companies to Revolutionary Guard-controlled companies.
Last month, the IRGC bought a controlling interest in Iran's main telecommunications company. That's a lucrative investment in a country with 30 million cell phones. Plus, it means the guards can control internet access and monitor private communications. Rasul Nafisi is the co-author of a recent report on the Revolutionary Guards by the RAND Corporation.
Although the IRGC had a great amount of influence on the telecommunication of the country and exchange of information, now it allows them to be the sole power.
Through their growing role in the Iranian economy, the Revolutionary Guards are displacing the private sector. They're better able to repress the reform movement, a role they played during the election protests in June. Plus, they are in position to control the black market and smuggling networks. Rasul Nafisi says the IRGC has become a major obstacle to Iran's democratization.
Such an organization would not like to have a democratic state, especially if there are transparency and accountability, because they like to have their shadow economy.
This is the economic side of the battle for Iran, and the U.S. government and its allies are in the fight. The weapons, economic sanctions designed to isolate Iran. But economic warfare is a complicated business. Karim Sajjadpour of the Carnegie Endowment points out that the IRGC may in some ways benefit if there's less foreign trade and less foreign investment in Iran.
What we've seen over the last 4 years especially is that the Revolutionary Guards have really thrived in a more hostile, isolated atmosphere because it's less competition for them. I describe them as weeds that grow in the dark, in the sense that they blossom more as a result of isolation than sunlight.
If sanctions are going to hurt the Revolutionary Guards, they'll have to be fine-tuned. Stuart Levy, the Treasury Department's top sanctions expert, told Congress this month that his department has drawn up a list of the Iranian companies that have IRGC connections.
It's a good signal to the rest of the world who really don't want to necessarily do business with the IRGC. If we can identify the companies for them that are IRGC owned and controlled, then they can take steps themselves to avoid doing business with them.
Here's the idea. While it may be that IRGC companies thrive in the shadows, they still depend on some foreign partners.
Right now, other countries are still perfectly within their legal rights to do business with the IRGC and IRGC front companies.
Michael Jacobson, a former advisor to Stuart Levy, is now at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
So I think the extent to which you can put in place international requirements for companies to and countries to cut off this kind of business, I think that would be a major step.
There is a broader issue here. More sanctions on Iran, even those targeting IRGC interests, could bring more hardship for the Iranian people. Would they, in that case, rally against foreign pressure, or would they blame their own rulers? Until now, most experts have predicted an anti-foreign backlash, but the political landscape in Iran shifted with the protests this summer. It's no longer so clear how the Iranian people would react. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.